Greeting to everyone. Open your Bibles now to Psalms. Psalm 67. Be sure to take out your outline and follow along and take notes. Though this is a short psalm, it is dynamite with some great teaching for us to be aware of this morning, hopefully for some corrective. Psalm 67, follow along as I read it. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth, Selah. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a powerful and important psalm here before us this morning. There's a reason your goal often is different than our goal when it comes to seeking your blessing. And so, Lord, as we work our way through this psalm, may we be instructed, may we be teachable, may we surrender and submit to his teaching in the way of obedience. God, you have called us to be true worshipers of you. You're not only gave your Son to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You gave us your Son to turn us into worshipers for which we were created for. And so, Lord, we pray that we realize that our ultimate and sole purpose of our existence is to worship the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That we would come to understand and know and aim all of our lives to that end. And we can worship you in anything and everything that we do. Oh, Father, help us to be aware of that and attentive to that. And not only this morning as we work through our text, but as we walk out these doors and live our lives, that we glorify you by lips and by lives, our lives, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Right from the beginning, to understand this psalm, we must understand this as a missionary psalm. Clear back in Genesis 12 with the Abrahamic covenant, God made a covenant with Abraham, and he said these words in verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. Listen carefully. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. But in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Derek Kidner, the great commentator on this book, said that, quote, if a psalm was ever written around the promises to Abraham that he would be both blessed and made a blessing, it could well have been such as this, end quote. To appreciate and understand this psalm, we have to understand why God chose Abraham. why he started the whole work of redemption, working through and choosing the nation of Israel. We'll leave it at that. Starting our tag point number one, in verses 1 and 2, we see a prayer for God's blessing. He simply said, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. We'll stop with that. He opened up this psalm with three prayer requests. God, be merciful to us. God, bless us. God, cause your face to shine on us. This blessing, if you're familiar with your Bible at all, reminds us of the priestly benediction that was given to Aaron and his sons afterward to pronounce the benediction or blessing to the people of Israel in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. You're familiar with it. It goes like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That was the prayer of blessing or the benediction when they closed their services, closed the sacrifices. It was to announce that blessing and benediction, that God is the source of all blessings and all good, and may God truly bless you. And the language in that benediction is the language in the very first verse in our psalm. It carried with it three aspects of blessing: protection, favor, and peace. This expresses the completeness of God's blessing on the life of his people. Not on the life of the average Joe, those who live in rebellion to the Creator, to the average person. It is to his people. When you compare the benediction in Numbers chapter 6 and this psalm, you will notice the you in the priestly blessing in Numbers compared with us in this psalm. In Numbers, the priest was pronouncing the blessing upon the nation. In this psalm, the psalmist turned it into a prayer. Van Gimeren said it this way, quote, the psalmist encouraged God's people to personalize the priestly benediction on themselves. Hence why we hear, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. And I love the community element of it. Instead of God, have mercy on me, bless me, shine your face on me. No, it's us. Thinking of the corporate and the community of believers as a whole. And when we look at this, this prayer, in its essence, it's saying clearly that God is the source of all blessing. And I want to say capital A-double-L, all blessing. I know that's elementary. We should know that. But how often do we forget it and forget to go to him in our need and thank him when he does respond and meet those needs? So let's break it down. First of all, he appeals to the mercy of God. Here it speaks to the fact that God plead, be gracious and have pity upon me. One commentator said it this way, any blessings bestowed upon us are undeserved. An expression of his grace and love for his people. This is why the psalmist appeals to the mercy of God. That's a good way to start every prayer, because we don't have it really any right to approach him other than the fact that Jesus Christ made it possible for us to approach God in prayer. And here, to beg and ask and plead with God to first and foremost be merciful before asking for the blessing is only appropriate. Then the next thing he asks for is bless us. Now the word blessing, I did a word study on it, it's pretty self-explanatory. Being blessed in every area of life. And what we need to see here is not only blessings in life to meet our needs, If it wasn't for the blessings of God, can you realize and understand how difficult life would be without His real loving care? The blessings of God made life on earth not only possible and bearable, can even and does help us to enjoy life even when we are given difficult challenges in life. And He does that sometimes by suspending the curse and judgment of the created world since the fall. A lot of times we deserve to have something, but in His grace and His mercy, He holds it back. Therefore, we get a blessing. Here lies why Romans chapter 2, verse 4 is one of a very prominent verse that talks about that the goodness of the Lord should lead us to repentance. What is the goodness of the Lord but another way of saying the blessings of the Lord? And so we see here that He asks and appeals to the mercy of God and knows that God is the source of all good and all blessings flow from Him, so He appeals to the source. And then He closes with an unusual phrase in our language, but not in the language of Scripture. Notice the end of verse 1. And caused His face to shine upon us, Selah. The idea, His face to shine on us, is a phrase that is often found in Scripture. It is an expression of His presence, His divine approval, His favor. It's better to have His face shine upon you than His face to frown on you, right? It's better to see Him in His face, Karam Deo, before His face, instead of His back where you are experiencing the judgment of God. Psalm 4, verse 6 says it this way: there are many who say, who will show us any good? Posed a rhetorical question. He answered it by saying this: Lord, lift up the light of Your countenance upon us. So the question is, who in the world is going to show us any good? The only place that we can find all true, real, lasting good is from the Lord when He shines upon us. It speaks to the fact that all supreme good is in the presence and comes from the favor of God. Albert Barnes said it this way, quote, while the world is busy in seeking happiness in other things, in wealth, pleasure, entertainment, ambition, sensual delight, the child of God feels true happiness is to be found only in the servant and friendship of the Creator. After all the ancient inquiring which men make and the varied experiment tried in exceeding ages to find the sort of true happiness, all who ever find it will be led to seek it where the psalmist said his happiness was found, in the light of the countenance of God. End quote. You can look high and low and far and wide, and you will never find happiness until you find it in God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Augustine said it so well, Lord, we are restless until we find our rest in You. And so we need to see here that we need and long, and our greatest source of joy is in His presence when His face shines upon Him. Elsewhere it teaches in Psalm 31, verse 16, make Your face shine upon Your servant. Save me for Your mercy's sake. In Psalm 80, verse 3, verse 7, verse 19, three times throughout that particular psalm, it said these words: restore us, O God, cause Your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Unless You show it favor, unless Your presence is there, unless You give a divine approval, we are at loss. We won't make it. Won't happen. Clearly we see that we too need to take up the language of the psalmist. May Your face shine upon us. May You show divine favor. Not live it, please, and He be pleased with it, but that we would live in a way that we would gain His favor and approval and presence. So the question that I posed based on verse 1, why seek the favor and blessing of God? What's the purpose of it? Why is the psalmist opening up this psalm by saying, God mercy on us, God blessed, God give us your presence? Verse 2. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. Now, I forgot to put this in my notes, but my original intent was to say, to pose the question to you, after reading verse 1, going through the little exposition that I did, and I said, look up and don't look at your passage, why would God do that? Why would he bless you? Why would we seek it? What is our motive for this? And how would you fill in the blanks? We would fill it in a lot of ways. Probably none of us would have filled it the way verse 2 fills it. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. The whole idea of the blessing of God upon his people is not that the blessing would terminate for us to simply have a good life. It is that others would see and come to know the God to whom we get those blessings from. God would be known in this passage, it said, by the nations of the world. Beloved, this is the highest motive for seeking God's mercy and blessing. Not because you want it, not because you desire it, not because you may even need it. You don't do it for blessing's sake, not for the good life, not to have a high quality of life. But that peoples in the world would come to know the Lord and his way and his salvation. That's what the text says. That's why this is a missionary psalm. It is a psalm that when God blesses Israel, just like I went to Genesis when God initiated the covenant with Abraham, I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing to the nation. How is that? Because this very principle, they were meant to be a light to the world. They were meant to be a priest to share the with the world the one true God through the worship that God had ordained, through the giving of the scriptures. And the list goes on. And yet we see here, beloved, we too need to truly examine our motives and why we pray for God's blessing. Are we driven by the desire to see others to come and know and worship God in Christ? Or is it enough to simply say, thank God, see you next time when the needs come? No, there's a much higher and greater reason why we all long for the blessings of God. It really cuts at the heart and soul and undermines the health and wealth of the gospel, because all they want to do, it's all about having your best life now. No, it's not. If God is blessing, it is meant for others to see, not to get jealous of your possession, but to find out the source of your blessing, which is God. And are we doing an adequate job of praising him and thanking him? Oh, Lord, thank you for this gift. Thank you. We take for granted so many things, and that's where we get into trouble. Van Gimeren said it this way, quote, the purpose of God's blessing is not selfish enjoyment of his love by his people. Rather, all the blessings of God are tokens of his presence and favor so that the nation may know his way. End quote. That's what the text says. That your way may be known on earth. Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, bless me. Lord, show favor to me. I want the nation to know who you are. That is the heart and soul of missionary work. Not just simply to go convert souls. Stephen Lawson said it this way. God chose Israel to serve as his intimate to reach a lost world with the saving message of his name. The whole idea of God blessing Israel and his people is the fact that the world would come to know him as the one true God and come to him to enjoy the fullness of his salvation from the Messiah. Lupo said it this way, one of the clearest expressions of the thought that Israel is to be God's priest to the nation is right here. And we need to understand that God chose Israel for himself. We know when you look at it, of all the people that God could have chosen to start a nation, he chose Abraham. Of all the people, it wasn't because Abraham was special. He was a sinner in need of grace and as much as anybody. But God set Abraham apart to start a nation. And that nation over all the other nations. And they were given not simply the blessing, but those blessings were meant to not terminate, simply to enjoy and take spiritual pride of being chosen, but to show and declare to the world his way and his salvation. So God showed Israel, and through Israel came the Word of God, and through Israel came the Messiah. I am going to bless you, Abraham, and all the nations will be blessed because of you as well. From his seed on, it is through Israel that God gave the scriptures. Through Israel that we have the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number two, it said, let the nations be glad. Verse 3, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Man, it goes right back into all the people, the entire planet. The idea here that every man, woman, and child of all nations praise you. That they would exalt you and adore you and worship you and see you in all of your glory and greatness. This is what every blessing from God is to produce. Praise on the lip of the receiver of the gifts and to draw out praise from those who witness the blessings of God on others. Boy, we've lost that dynamic. We take it in and we just soak it in and we just kind of, it's for me. And yet the world needs to know that it is God that blessed us. And we need to live with that. We need to have that attitude. We need to be expressive of that. And too often we take for granted so many things. Let me give you an example of how we take for granted. And I read it this morning and I forgot to feature it in my scripture reading. Aphrodite got sick. Sick to death, almost there, and God spared him. And Paul said, God had mercy on him and essentially healed him. So in essence, the theology of that one line in Philippians is, any sickness, if God didn't erect it, we would die from it. If God didn't intervene to help us. But yet we take for granted medicine, eating better, drinking water, get plenty of sleep, stay away from stress, all of that stuff. And we forget that we can do all that and still die. God determined. And yet Paul acknowledged it under the inspiration of the scripture, the cause for his recovery with the mercy of God. And yet we take for granted, it gets a little cold, a little flu in a couple weeks, a couple days, I'll get by, I'll get through it. We need to appeal to God. And if he healed us, thank you for your mercy so I can serve you longer and with health. How often we take for granted the blessings that come our way. And yet when we look at this, that every blessing that comes from God is to produce praise on the lip of the receiver of the gift. And those who observe it and witness it, wow, that they would have enough to know that blessing came from the Lord. And I wrote right after that, oh, that sounds so counterintuitive. Seems so unnatural to think like that. And a bit strange. But, beloved, on the authority of God's word, it's true. It is the truth. It is the ultimate reality. God said this is the way it's supposed to be done. But when you live for the blessing for yourself instead of simply being a means by which others can see His goodness to us, we are falling short. The way we so often view and look and perceive our blessing is purely vanity, selfish, and hollow in the end. Certainly doesn't take up the language of the highest motive like we have here. God bless me so others will know that you are the one true God. And that they, not only that they would kind of, boom, there he is, there, I know he, no, that they would come to know His ways, know His salvation. Now move to verse 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nation on earth, Selah. Now, when you look at that, that almost sounds kind of a conflict. Let the nation be glad and sing. Why? Because you're a judge. And you judge justly, and you rule the world. And we know from the scripture that man in his natural state and in his sinfulness rebel against the authority of God. They don't want to be under his authority. We learned that from Psalm chapter 2 when we did the Psalm 2 where it said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing against the Lord and His anointed? They did let us break their bands off of it. We don't want their rulership, their authority on us. That man in his natural state. But here the goal had always been, may the nation be glad and sing for joy. Why? Because God is God. And He is good. This is the whole theme of this missionary psalm. Let the nation be glad. John Piper, in his wonderful book, coincidentally entitled, Let the Nations Be Glad, considered probably the best classic book on missionary work of our day, wrote these words, quote, mission is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not mission, because God is ultimate, not man. End quote. The purpose of mission is to call other people to not only salvation, but to know His ways and to know His salvation so they would be glad and joy in Him. In other words, what Piper was saying, it's not just about saving a person from hell, going after sinners to bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ, but also making true disciples that become true worshipers of a God that we worship and serve, that is our Creator. Turn with me to John chapter 4. Keep your finger there, but go to John chapter 4. Anybody who knows their Bible knows exactly where I'm going, beside John chapter 4, but at the woman at the well. This is one of those great, great clarifying passages on real, true worship. And we know the situation. The disciples left, went to town. The woman is at the well, trying to get some water. Jesus approached him. The discussion had begun. And starting in verse 19, based on what Jesus said, she said this. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Because without her telling him, he knew things about her that only a prophet would know. That's why she said that. And then she said this, out of nowhere, the topic would change off of her sin to this question. "Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Now notice the next phrase. "For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." That is what the Father wants. He is looking for true worshipers that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him and worship in spirit and truth." So they got on the discussion. She changed the subject to this worship. Several times the word worship, it's all about worship, and Jesus went with it and zeroed in. You must worship God rightly, in spirit and in truth. And the Father is looking for true worshipers. Getting this information would be a bit heady for the woman. It was kind of overwhelming to her, more than she could handle at the moment. So she responded by changing the subject with verse 25. The woman said to her, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Then Jesus responded and said to her, "I who speak to you am he." I simply wrote in my notes, if what Jesus taught about true worshipers was a bit dizzying, how about the cherry bomb of truth that exploded on her, informing her the one she was talking to was indeed the Christ? The Messiah standing in front of her, talking to her. Can you imagine? But the whole deal I wanted to bring out here was the fact of worship. And the Father is seeking true worshipers. And so when we are talking about witnessing and doing missionary work and sending missionaries and praying for missionaries, we're praying not only for conversion, but that they become disciples who will follow God as true worshipers. Not simply write their name on a list that they said the prayer. Because salvation only happens when real conversion of the new birth happens, when the nature changes. Now let's go back to our passage in verse 4. In our passage it said that, "Oh, let the nation be glad and sing for joy. Why? For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth, Selah." Oh, that we would call people to praise Him for who He is, but also the fact that He is the ultimate judge and a righteous one, and just one at that. They will praise God for His righteous judgment and for His governing affairs over the nation. Clearly, that is what the text is dealing. We may not always understand what God is doing, but we all know that all is working perfectly according to God's decreed and divine will. And we know it with certainty. He governs it with justice and righteousness. We hear it in this passage, and we hear it throughout all the passages that ever deal with Him as the judge. Or when He brings judgment, it is always just and righteous. And then what we learn in verse 3, we get a repeat of it in verse 5. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. John Piper continued with this quote, worship, therefore, is the fuel and the goal in mission. It's the goal of mission because in mission we simply aim to bring the nation into a white-hot enjoyment of God's glory. The goal of mission is the gladness of the people in the greatness of God. End quote. I love the title of his book, Let the Nation Be Glad. Subtitle, The Supremacy of God in Mission. So often over the years that I have been a pastor and even a Christian, I've always heard the story of we always get numbers and conversions and baptism. What about God glorifying and God entrenched people? People that just are enamored, and I don't care what kind of persecution and suffering, you're not going to allow me, you're not going to make me deny my Lord. I will worship Him to death. That's what we see here. And yet, so often, we miss that because we get energetic and we get so pragmatic in our approach instead of realizing that nobody can get saved apart from the regenerating work of the Spirit of God, drawing them. Knowing this, what I just read about Piper, it's one of the reasons we here deeply appreciate the dispatches from the front video series for this very reason, for it's God-centeredness. It did not just report about people, events, and places where missionary work is being conducted. No, it's about people all over this world coming to know the one true God of the Bible and worshiping Him for all that He is and all that He has done. And the joy of seeing and witnessing brothers and sisters in Christ coming to faith even through persecution and loving and adoring and worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why that video series resonates with us. Not just another missionary report. It is watching God missionaries going out and making people come to know the God of the gospel. God of the Bible. And that they get enamored with God Himself. And again in verse 5, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Point number 3, verse 6 and 7. Blessings lead to fearing God. Then the earth shall yield her increase. Remember, we started praying for the blessing up front in verse 1. Now we got the blessing answered. We got the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. So what we have here, this psalm concludes with a prayer for God's blessing. The idea of yielding her increase, the idea, the means to produce or to yield fruit from the earth when properly cultivated. Man may do everything he can to prepare for the harvest, but only God can give the increase and the fruit of the harvest. Only God can germinate the seed and give the abundance. We need to come to realization. We may have all the science in the world. We may have everything, machinery and technology down to perfection, but unless God does His work and His magic on the food, on the harvest, on the seed, it will not happen. The earth will yield it if God chooses to bless it. And God, in verse 7, will indeed bless us. It said in verse 7, God shall bless it. Another way of saying God will bless it. And when He does, what's the purpose? Right back to verse 1 and 2 again. God blessed the nation witness. God blessed in verse 7, part A. Nation watches, fear. Come to awe and reverence and come to know that this God. So God will indeed bless, and the result will be more than simply the increase of our crops and labor. No, the people to the end of the earth, or in verse 2, all the nation, shall acknowledge God as the giver of all good things and come, what? To know His ways, His salvation, and fear Him. That is when real conversion and transformation takes place, beloved. What a wonderful missionary psalm here we have here. So what lessons are we to live out from this missionary psalm? There are two things that I wanted to bring out for us. Number one, when we pray for God's blessing, that He will use the blessing to draw others to Himself. When we pray for God's blessing, we must pray that He will use it, the blessing, to draw others to Himself. That others will come to know His ways, His salvation. Not just kind of cursory know Him, but come to experientially know Him. Nothing wrong with, beloved, with praying for blessing. Not at all. It becomes wrong when we think the blessings are for us only. That's what we have to change in our thinking. If we're asking God to bless, God, if you choose to bless, please bless it with others, realizing you are my source and you are my answer and you are the reason. And I want to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Did He not tell Israel, let you get puffed up and proud that you got your wealth from your own effort? It is me who gives you the ability to gain wealth. Same thing here, just taking that theology and fleshing it out. When God touches every true new person by His grace, this is what supposed to happen. So our blessings need to be viewed and seen differently. Number two, when we pray for our missionaries, let's pray that they'll be fruitful in making true worshipers. A lot of missionaries, they're being taught and doing what they've been taught instead of going to the scripture and reading a psalm like this or even reading the Piper's book that does the biblical from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation journey of this concept that blessings were intended to bring others closer to God to know His ways and salvation. We need to pray that our missionaries will be fruitful in making true worshipers for His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your grace and Your goodness. Thank You for the lessons and instructions in this psalm. Such advice that we need to hear, and yet so often we terminate our blessings, our wealth, our increase about us. We might give You a mental nod, but Lord, in down deep in our souls, often we think of how we're going to do it for ourselves. Oh, Lord, help us to realize we're just simply stewards in Your hands. You have entrusted us. Help us to be faithful. And part of that stewardship is to also to praise You and to acknowledge to all You are the source of their blessing. Oh, God, we ask that You would bless the preaching of Your word. And if there's any here that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that the Spirit of God would convict them and draw them to Christ. May they see their need of forgiveness and to look by faith in Christ alone on the cross is their only hope of forgiveness and cleansing of their sin debt before You. And Lord, may we as Your people, may we truly see our blessing in a different light and in the light of Psalm 67. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.